Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I want to stay on the Patriots. Rumors, speculation, who's coming, who's going, the status of the team as we are a week out from NFL free agency. Are we okay with that?
Yeah. In fact, I had an epiphany as it pertains to NFL free agency, but I'll share that in a minute.
I love it. I can't wait to hear this epiphany, even though I know what it is. And so we'll just start giving you like the latest rumors and latest rumblings. Murray, Big Jim Murray in our update studio. Why don't you start with the tweet you just showed me.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, just tweeted 10 minutes ago. Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman has told teammates goodbye over the past 24 hours, according to sources. He won't be on the team. Those close to him say nothing is set in stone. There has been no official word, but clearly bears watching. Now, more tweets have come in, including from Tom Pelissero of Yahoo Sports, I believe it is. No, NFL Network as well. Richard Sherman scheduled to meet with Coach Pete Carroll and GM John Schneider later today to discuss his future. Jeremy Lane, teammate on the Seahawks, he just is blurting things out here, tweeting, "The text message got my heart hurting. Damn, 25 was my dog. Hashtag, what's next?"
All right. Richard Sherman has been linked to the Patriots. The Patriots called on Richard Sherman last year, in fact. They obviously will have a need opposite of Stephon Gilmore. Richard Sherman, anyone?
I'm in. I told you, I'd take either one of them. And when I say either one of them, I'm going back to the story last week that either Tlaib or Sherman or both will be on the market and that either would be a good fit for the Patriots, to which I say, yes, give me either one. Fine. And if whoever's first, because I don't want to wait, whoever's first, I will take Sherman in a second. You put Sherman out there with Stephon Gilmore, I love it. I love it.
He had a torn Achilles. He had a surgery on the other one. Like, if it's cheap and incentivized, then yes.
What if he's healthy, Murray?
Healthy. Yeah, tonight. Sign him, please.
Okay, done. So let's just pretend he's healthy. I mean,
it feels to me like more their kind of venture anyway.
I mean, if he's not, then it's stupid, but we'll find that out in time. There's no way of knowing right now. Let's just go on the assumption that he's healthy. You want him. Is he worth the money? Is he worth the headache? You know, for lack of a better term.
Yes, he is. Again, especially because you have Tom Brady at age 41 now. We're going into his age 41 season next August. And you're going to need to fortify that defense. And what better way to make that defense, you know, better right out of the gate than go get yourself a legit second corner? You want to clamp down man-to-man with Sherman and Gilmore, you can do that.
Okay, something percolating with Richard Sherman. He's been linked to you in the past, and apparently he's saying his goodbyes out in Seattle. Item number one. And your phone number, 617-779-0985. Quick update on Deion Lewis, the Patriots running back, Mike Giardi from NBC Sports Boston, writes that multiple sources think it's a long shot that Deion Lewis remains a Patriot. Expected contractual demands are a problem. And those sources say Lewis remains disappointed by his usage both early in the season and again in the Super Bowl. Can I go first on this one?
Yeah.
Shut up, running back. Shut up. Like, the thing about wanting more money, great, go get it. Like, I'm not begrudging you that. But he remains disappointed in his usage both at the beginning of the season and the Super Bowl. You're running back, dude. In one door, out the other, makes no difference. Shut up, running back. This is like one of my cardinal rules about the running back. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to pay you. And I don't want to pay too much to get you. So if you want to dance around and break down, neat, because I'll find the next guy for nothing. And it's not going to make a lick of difference, especially on this team. Not one lick of difference. I don't want to hear you yap about the ball. I don't want to hear you yap about your money. I don't want to pay you any money. And I certainly don't want to pay a lot to have to get you. So shut up. Shut up, running back. You're just a running back. He's disappointed in his usage at the beginning of the year and the Super Bowl. Like, that to me, like, that bugs me a little bit because, dude, they still scored 31. How much did they score?
33.
They still scored 33 points.
And it should have been more.
Nothing to do with you. With you, without you. Please, running back. Shut up, running back. Bye. See you later. Bye-bye. You're worrying about your touches. But who the hell are you? Is this Gale Sayers we're talking about all of a sudden?
What about the fact that he was clearly the best of the bunch?
So what?
So he should be used more.
Yeah.
Over Mike Gillisley early in the season or Rex Burkhead or any of these other guys.
So you know what my only issue is there, Murray? If you put him out there more, you know what happens?
Well, he's going to get hurt.
He breaks. He breaks.
But let me tell you this, too. If you had just gone with those guys, you'd have been in the exact same position.
Or he fumbles, one or the other, but more likely he breaks.
No.
He had a career year for them, though.
He's a good player. Yeah, he's a good player.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I mean, a bad player. I don't know how he is as a guy. He's a great player. Clearly your best running back. Stick the next guy in, you're in the exact same place. Exact same place. You're in the Super Bowl scoring a ton of points.
So James White played any more snaps than any other running back in the Super Bowl. Did you have any issue with that?
Zero.
Me too. None.
How was their offense? They didn't punt.
So, like, look, I like Lewis, but you know what? I'm starting to think Gary Tangri was right Super Bowl week. Remember that report? Deion Lewis cleaned out his locker because he wasn't in the game plan for the Super Bowl?
Oh, my God. All of a sudden, this guy's disappointed. And again, I'm not ragging on Giardi. It's a good report. But this guy's now crying about his usage? Shut up! Who are you? Well, all of a sudden, we got Barry Sanders back there. We got to worry about feeding the ball. See you later.
I don't blame him on that. I mean, part of it, especially early in the season, the talk was they were trying to trade his ass. I thought that they were purposely keeping him on the shelf just in case anyone came along.
They didn't believe in him. They didn't believe in him. He was getting the most touches in the preseason. He was gone.
Well, something else Bill got wrong then this year.
Sure. But what's the diff? I mean, what's the diff? The guy wants to come back at a nice contract. Fine. Keep your mouth shut. Your usage. Shut up. Running back. Okay, that's item number two. Item number three, Mike Sando of ESPN. Mike Sando of ESPN spoke with NFL executives at the Combine and compiled a list of 10 trades that they either proposed, vetted, and or heard of in rumors last week. So these are not just trade rumors that Mike Sando came up with out of his posterior. These are trade rumors that, again, I will say, he were either proposed, vetted, and or heard in rumors last week at the Combine. There are a couple here involving the Patriots. So, you know, he lists 10. Like for example, here's number one. Seahawks trade safety Earl Thomas to the Cowboys for defensive lineman David Irving and a 2018 second or third round pick. It's a good one. It's a big one.
Makes sense.
Yep. Earl Thomas said he, wanted to go to Dallas. Didn't he march into the Cowboys locker room or something and tell those guys to come trade for me?
Yeah, he grabbed the coach towards the end of the game that they played and was like, hey, come find me this offseason or something to that effect. Like, you know, they could be in Dallas.
They could use him, too.
So, that one sort of makes sense. Dallas, if you want to get past Aaron Rodgers, I think a good place to start or, you know, deal with Carson Wentz or some of the passing attacks. Start with Earl Thomas. Not bad. Their number two one. Number two. Texans trade outside linebacker Jadeveon Clowney to the Patriots for a 2018 first-round pick. The number two one on his list.
It moved when I heard Zoe talking about this earlier today.
It should move.
I love Jadeveon Clowney. I know there's been an injury history here, but, I mean, he's a beast. And he's only 25 years old. And when he's on, like he was last year, and he's been a Pro Bowler the last couple of seasons, I mean, he is a legitimate pass-rushing monster. Ugh. Huh. There's no question about him. You know, with a first-round pick, you don't know what you're going to get. It's a gamble. With Clowney, yeah, make that trade. Make that trade now, please.
So I'd want some assurance that you're going to keep him for a little while, though.
Well, sure.
Because I feel like they've traded away too many picks. And, like, so what are you going to do, trade away more of them? You know, you get those guys for a minimum of 4 years, and the first rounders you get for maybe five.
He's on the last year of his deal.
Yeah, so you got to get some assurance that you don't give up a first-round pick for a guy in the final year of his contract.
He's in that fifth-year, you know.
Option.
That fifth-year rookie option year, but it's the last year. 2018's the last year of his contract, making just under $14 million.
I mean, it makes him a lot like Brandon Cooks, really, right? Because Cooks is in the same boat now. He's in that final year, too. So, to me, that's the only caveat I would have. I like the player, but you're not giving up a first-round pick for 1 year of service from from whoever it is. No way. But, sure, I'm in. You want to, again, linebackers, pass rushers, fine. I prefer linebackers first. In this case, you are getting one. But he's, you know, an edge guy. Nonetheless, I want linebackers.
I'm also not that hardcore on the deal. It'd be nice to know that they're going to extend him. But again, you're dealing with the Brady window here. So we're just going to say next couple of years, maybe three at best. So whatever. You want to throw around some of these picks willy-nilly to bring in a guy for a year? Fine. A guy that talented with 9.5 sacks last year that's all over the field. I think he had 2 or 3 interceptions, too. Anyway, terrorized them in the regular season the game had earlier in the season. Yeah. Trade it. Trade that pick.
Well, so again, aren't you all in on that win-now philosophy?
You should be.
If that's the case, are you trading a first-round pick for a win-now kind of guy like Jadeveon Clowney?
Yeah, but you can't get reckless with it either. Like
they already have. Why not?
I know, but that's true. They have gotten borderline reckless with it, Murray. But at the same time, it's, you know, at some point you're just paying stupid money upon stupid money or currency. A first-round pick for a guy for 1 year? No way. No way. Just too much. Way too much.
Look, this is going to... At this point, it looks like it's going to be a dumpster fire when Bill and Brady are gone. So I have no problem with it. Again, best case scenario, you make the deal, you sign this guy to a long-term contract. But if you have him for another year, fine. Throw another pick around.
I mean, if you told me that they would franchise him and keep him for 2 years and that that's part of the plan, then fine. I just don't believe that they would do that.
Okay, another trade. And, you know, he has, let me give a couple more. Broncos trade Aqib Talib to the Patriots for a late round pick.
Yes.
All right, obviously, but that makes no sense because Aqib's going to get cut. And you can sign him for, you know, I guess the only way you'd want to trade for him is to keep him away from another team. But you're not paying him $11 million next year, I don't think.
No way.
So maybe you trade him and then you restructure him. But then again, to do that, you're breaking his contract. So he can, you know, I think they wait to see him hit the market and, you know, hit the street is what I mean to say. And then sign him there for nothing.
Yeah. And you should be able to tamper on that one and not get caught.
No question.
Right. Somebody calls somebody who knows someone who knows him, who knows his agent. Here you go. Yep. I'm coming there. Fine release. Here you go. Bang.
Okay. Here's another one. Nick Cattles may not want to listen to this. Number five, Patriots trade wide receiver Brandon Cooks to the Redskins or Bears for a 2018 second round pick. Where's he coming up with that one?
No idea. If it's the Bears, maybe, because I think that pick will be high. But the Redskins, I just don't know if it's enough. I'd rather keep him.
No, but what I'm saying is now this is sort of the second rumble we've heard about Brandon Cooks and his future here. He makes $9 million next year, right?
Mm-hmm. $8.5 million, I think, yeah.
So you clear all that money off your books if you trade him. Nothing left. No dead cap charge. They're not in the best money shape. They're not, for a team that hasn't spent much the last 4 or 5 years, you know, if I thought the cap was real, I might say their cap has been mismanaged. I don't feel like they got a ton of space for a team that hasn't spent much the last 4 or 5 years. But that's a story for another day. Either way, well, let me ask you this. If you have $10 million to spend, $9, $10 million to spend, would you rather spend it on Brandon Cooks or Nate Solder?
Nate Solder.
Solder.
So I just wonder, Brandon Cooks has come up now in a couple different media rumbles. That means nothing. It's just the media throwing crap against the wall. But his name's come up in a couple different places.
So let me ask you a simple question on Cooks. Do you think he's a winning player?
Oh, I have no clue. Too early to tell.
No, but give me your opinion at this stage.
No.
Yeah, I say no, too.
See, I'm a no. I'm not saying he's useless. I mean, but is he the guy that you'll build your passing attack around? They give up a first-round pick for him.
No.
And honestly, I don't love the number they're paying him either.
Yeah,
now, I'd be inclined to keep him, bite the bullet, but if they can use the money somewhere else and they want to move Cooks, fine, move him. If the return is decent, move him.
Yeah, if I'm not considering the money, I don't think that's good value because he did give you 7 touchdowns and a 1,000-yard season. But if we're considering the money and it means you now get to bring Nate Solder back, then, yeah, I make that deal.
I wonder. I'm just beginning to wonder. Is Brandon Cooks going to be collateral damage for something they have to do elsewhere? Would you trade Brandon Cooks for Richard Sherman?
Yeah.
Yes.
Would you trade Brandon Cooks for Aqib Talib? Again, I say yeah. No, you don't have to. You don't have to. The Broncos are probably going to cut Talib. So I don't think you have to. But in other words, if that's the trade-off money-wise, if you've got to, you know,
yes,
ditch off Brandon Cooks' money to re-sign Nate Solder or sign Richard Sherman or sign Aqib Talib, do you make that trade-off?
Yes.
Yeah.
I told you, this is part of the reason I reacted the way I did yesterday to the Kenny Britt news. To me, it feels like there's a tied-in part.
Aha. Uh-huh. And there's your tie-in. Kenny Britt, out of nowhere, his options picked up. Kenny Britt.
Right. Now, the money's not guaranteed, as you said. It's like $300,000 or something like that. It's chump change. But that just struck me as odd. So to me, there's another shoe to drop there. What's the other shoe?
So Kenny Britt gets his option gets picked up yesterday. Sherman cleans out his locker today. I don't know. We got a week to go to NFL free agency in the league here. We're talking about it. Open phones for you folks if you want to jump on. 617-779-0985.
This is Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
The kickoff toward Lewis here in the thin air of Denver. His kick sailing 2 yards into the end zone. Left side. Lewis sprints past the 10. 15, 20. Lewis with the lane to the 30. Lewis cuts left past the kicker to the 45, 50. Lewis in a foot race left sideline. Pushed at the 30. Outrunning the Broncos to the 10. Sliding right to the end zone. Wire to wire. Deion Lewis. Touchdown Patriots.
Special teams. I said it. When he caught it, the whole front of the Denver line wasn't even near the 30. So they walled him off perfectly at the 33. He got up inside, found the lane. Then all he had to beat was the kicker. And they had two cracks to push him out, and they couldn't do it. Again, the guy that got you back when you were playing the Houston Texans in that divisional game and got you going gives you a big one right here.
Good God, I got to worry about feeding Deion Lewis now? Hey, Vay. Smell ya. See you later. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Shut up, running back. Go yap somewhere else. There's some stupid team that thinks that you matter. You just see it, the running back thing gets me going.
I never noticed that.
I gotta listen to the running back yap about his role.
I mean, I like Lewis, too, but, White played most of the Super Bowl, and he was good. He had a touchdown run on top of it. Like
They never punted. They never punted. Their game plan was fine. Their usage was fine. Shut up, running back. So, again, we're talking NFL rumors. Richard Sherman has told people in Seattle he's out. You've been linked to Richard Sherman. And trades are starting to happen across the league. One just crossed the wire. Want to give it to us here, Murray?
Yeah, Adam Schefter, ESPN, just tweeting. Seahawks trading defensive end Michael Bennett in a 7th-round draft pick to the Philadelphia Eagles for a 5th-round pick and wide receiver Marcus Johnson. So they're starting to blow it up in Seattle.
Yeah, and Philly now has Michael Bennett on the same line with Fletcher Cox. Whew. Look out. I'll tell you, I love Philly's attitude, though. They just won the whole thing, and what they're doing, they're adding. Smart. Build yourself a nice little dynasty there for a few years, because you get the quarterback at the very least.
I almost hope, again, from a Patriots perspective, I almost hope the Eagles do go on a run and turn out to be legit. If they turn out to be some sort of one-trick pony, one-hit wonder, and Doug Peterson just turns into be, you know, got lucky 1 year and that team recedes into nothing, you're going to look back at that game and feel even worse. We lost to that team. But they turn out to be a real team. I think that changes things a little bit.
And Bennett is signed for 3 more years, this and 2 more. So they get some, you know, runway there.
Okay, let's see where Richard Sherman lands. This is a spot. This is a candidate. This is a potential place, a landing spot for Richard Sherman. Keep our eyes on it. Max in the truck wants to weigh in on Sherman. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I just saw the report about Richard Sherman saying goodbye to everybody in Seattle. I think there's something up. I think the Patriots are either going to trade Cooks to Seattle for Sherman. I think he's going to be in the Patriots uniform next year. Just wanted to see what you guys had to say about that.
I think it's a possibility. And we discussed this last week, because it looks like both Aqib Talib and Richard Sherman are going to shake free. Who would you rather have? And, you know, I want both. I want either. I'll be thrilled with either. But I put Sherman just a little half tick above Talib, because I think it's also going to be a fascinating story. You know, Richard Sherman's one of the biggest figures and strongest personalities and most independent thinkers and, like, one of the biggest personalities in the league. You know, Talib's a big personality himself, but as we discussed, there's the difference there. You know, Talib is more like...
Crazy.
There's just undercurrent of menace, like, you know, someone's going to get hurt. Roll them up. Here comes Aqib. That sort of thing. Sherman's got a whole nother raft of issues, and I just think it'd be fascinating to watch him work with Bill Belichick. On the field and off, how do they use Richard Sherman? Like, remember in Seattle, for a long time, didn't they only play him on one side of the field?
Yes.
And basically, they play that sort of...
He didn't travel, so to speak. He was on the left side only.
Always played on one side, and then they played, like, that three-deep zone, like that special kind of defense. Do they come here and play man? Do they have to sort of... Like, how do they wrap him into the defense? So, on the field... There's that. Off the field, it's how do they manage his personality? How does Sherman, like, all that? I think it'd be a fascinating fit. So I'm all for Richard Sherman. All for it.
The only thing is, I wouldn't trade for him, because he's going to get released.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. He's got 1 year left at $11 million. Like, coming off...
Talib costs the same, huh?
Yeah, and coming off Achilles surgery, though. Like, you take that gamble?
Well, that's the big one.
I mean, to me, you know, he's... If you're going to trade for him, you're not giving up Brandon Cooks. Maybe you give up a 7th-rounder or something. But then I'd want to redo that contract.
And Brandon Cooks keeps coming up in trade rumors. What's that about?
One other thing quickly about Sherman. Other than last year when he ruptured his Achilles, games played, 16-16-16-16-16-16. Every year, out there for every game, other than when his leg blew up.
And he played one whole year through a torn MCL, I believe.
I think that's right.
Right, when they and somehow they didn't get whacked for lying on the injury report, but I think he played through an MCL the entire time. So it goes back to the McAvoy thing. Well, I'm not that worried about MCLs. MCLs are the good ligament injury. Here's Pete in Delaware. What do you got, Pete?
Hey, guys. I saw your take on with Brandon Cooks, and my thing is they got to get a lot back for him. I mean, they gave up a first-round pick, which the Saints turned into Ryan Rumsfeld, an offensive tackle, which wouldn't look bad with the Patriots right now. But you know what really bothers me, guys, is Belichick's value of these trades. Like, Brandon Cooks is worth the first-round draft choice to him, but Garoppolo is only worth getting second.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, yes.
That's a great point.
Obviously. And, I mean, I think you could look at the last couple, again, on players that he did not shop around the league. And Jay Glazer told us this. It was good insight at the Super Bowl. That's just sort of their M.O. Bill doesn't want everyone knowing their business. Bill's not going to call around and tell everyone that someone's on the block. He's going to pick a spot where he wants the guy to go. He's going to deal with that team. It's a team that he's going to trust or that's far away from him. And he's going to make the deal, and he doesn't care what else is out there. Which I think is just, like, what are we doing? Like, I hate that. I'm okay, so that's what he does. But how does that benefit the football team?
Well, look, if you want to do
who
that.
Who cares if people know? So, and you know what? I started to think about this. Why does Bill not do that? Why does Bill not let the league know that a player's on the block and shop him around the league and call other teams? It's his psychology. Bill doesn't want to be looking like he's in a position where he's asking for things, like he's vulnerable. When you start calling around the league, say, hey, this guy's available, hey, this guy's available, it makes it sound like you're in need. And Bill's got such a big swinging, you know, ego that, you know,
stick.
You can't possibly, no player holds me. We're not desperate to trade this. I don't need to shop this guy for the highest value. I'm in control of the situation. No. I'll choose where you go and for how much.
Yeah, but that's all well and good if you're trading a 32-year-old left guard to Tampa.
Mass, I hate it. I hate that approach, but don't you think that's... I mean, I'm just trying to figure out a reason to describe why he doesn't call around and try and maximize value for his players.
Okay, so again, I get it most of the time. Because really, what's the difference with what you're going to get for a 32-year-old guard? Or a 35-year-old or 4-year-old nose tackle, or whatever, however old Will Fork was.
Yeah, I think Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins could have been shopped for more than they got.
Probably. Garoppolo?
All three of those.
A 25-year-old franchise quarterback, potentially, and you just let him go without shopping him?
All three of them. All three of them. Glazer said it. They didn't call around on Chandler Jones. They found a spot for him that they wanted, called that team, dealt with that team, see you later. And how does that help your team? How does that help your team? But I'm Brandon Cooks. So look, if you're not going to re-sign him, if you're not going to re-sign him next year, he only has 1 year left. So you either have to re-sign him or give him the franchise tag. Isn't it better to get something for him versus losing him for nothing?
Yes.
And so you traded the 32nd pick in the first round for him last year, right?
Correct. Because you had won the Super Bowl, right?
So again, the proposed trade here from Mike Sandow: Patriots trade wide receiver Brandon Cooks to the Redskins or Bears for a 2018 second. Where are the Bears picking?
Well, they're going to be in the top 10, right?
They're at 35.
Yeah.
So if you're trading Cooks for the 35th pick and you gave up the 32nd pick for him,
not bad.
Is there a way to justify that? I definitely think there is. Will in Worcester. Go ahead, Will.
I was thinking, I don't know if anybody touched on it, what about the Pat signing Brian Cushing?
Okay, I didn't know he was a free agent. Is he?
I don't know. Either.
Texans cut him. He's washed up.
Is he toast?
Yeah.
Has he failed?
He's a steroid freak,
I was going to say, hasn't he failed a couple tests?
Yeah,
I mean, good. Not that I care, but generally speaking, it's harder to keep doing steroids after they pop you a couple times.
I mean, you want to bring him in on a flyer, fine. Again, linebacker, I'm in. Bring in any breathing body you can, because I don't care if the guy's been out of the league, popped for steroids or what. He's better than Van Noy and a Landon Roberts. I can guarantee you that.
Okay, Tom Brady and Joprick Chopra, whatever. His documentarian, they finally woke up. The latest on that, Tom versus Time series. That's coming up after Murray's update right here.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-Kumpa-Dukumpa. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
So, how are you feeling, man?
I'm feeling, it's a loaded question.
You play the game to be in those moments, and you play those games to have the chance to win the Super Bowl. And when you don't come through, it's very painful. But, football's the blink of an eye. That's what you've got to live with for the rest of your life.
He's going to do a stint on Good Morning America on Monday morning as well. Tom Brady is, which makes perfect sense because his buddy Michael Strahan is on Good Morning America, and they're going into business together on a Players Tribune kind of website.
Oh.
Are you aware of this?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, they're launching their own sort of media. It's like a Players Tribune kind of thing. And it's him and Strahan are the principals. And so Brady's going to announce and, I guess, reveal or, you know, debut the trailer or debut the episode 6 Monday on Good Morning America. How do you feel about the gap between episode 5 and 6 in between the Super Bowl loss?
I mean, I haven't sat here and said, oh, my God, where is it? if that's what you're asking me. I mean, so when, you know, once the Super Bowl came, I became sort of consumed with other things and the fallout from that game. In some ways, I'm still there. When it comes out, will I watch it? Am I waiting for it with bated breath?
Doesn't it feel weaselly that they sort of stopped after they lost?
Maybe a little.
Little bit. Like, I don't know, are you doing the thing or not? Oh, he lost. So now you got to repackage. Regather or what? Like, were you doing it or were you not doing it?
Yeah, I wasn't setting my calendar by it anyway.
I mean, I didn't realize the whole thing was about winning and losing. I thought it was about commitment and work ethic and doing things the right way and living right and being a good family man and being a good person. I didn't realize it was all about winning and losing. Oh, I see. So when you lose, I don't know. There's something like that. You know, I mean, there's a little taste. I have a little bad taste that they had to go back and redo the whole thing or reset the whole thing, or it took them this long to come out with the 6-1 just because they lost. If they won, would I have seen Tom Brady Schmenzer in my face for 2 weeks waving it, you know, about how, what a great win it was and
probably.
Another championship?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. I mean, you know, so like, oh, so I see. That's just so that, oh, so the... So the narrative took a little bit of a hit, I guess.
I mean, with the way Guerrero's rubbing him down in those things, I think you saw Schmenzer anyway.
I mean, you know what I mean. It's like, all right, so I would have had it shoved in my face if you had won. But now that you lost, you've got to reset, repackage, remessage, re-what? I mean, that was not in the cards, not in the play. I don't want to go too far with it, but there's just...
It's a little bit of a Belichick move.
There's a slight whiff of, you know, stop being such a bad loser. Is it really just about winning or losing the game? I thought it was things about much more important than that, and much more meaningful than that, and lasting than that. You win some, you lose some. So I don't know. It just has a slight taste of that. It still doesn't. I don't care what they do in episode 6, Jimmy Stewart. The episode 5 contains the highlight that cannot and will not be matched.
Question is, your football team, Maz, how do you feel about it?
Not great. Am I supposed to feel great? They are more vulnerable at this time of year than they have been in other years. It might be the fact that they're short on weapons in some ways, at least in the passing game. But again, bottom line for me, Brady has played like absolute dog crap for more than a month now.
We'll live in infamy.
This is actually the better line from earlier in the series.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh boy.
This is going to test that whole Brady process and the Brady theory in your book. So good luck, fella.
Best Murray's line is so much better.
Best of luck, Tom.
I don't know.
So good luck, fella.
For all of history, imprinted in time, in Tom Brady's important, you know, groundbreaking, worldwide documentary.
So good luck, fella.
Maz comes out and says he's playing like dog crap?
For the last month. Dog crap for more than a month now.
No,
that is one that my kids will be able to find on the web for
so
the rest
good luck,
of their
fella.
Lives. And their kids beyond that. Yep, they'll be able to find that one on the internet.
Brady has played like absolute dog crap for more than a month now.
Chisel that one on my gravestone.
So good luck, fella.
You guys should be proud. All right, so we'll see. We'll see what makes it in episode 6. He'll certainly have a lot of material. If he wants some talk radio chatter, man, he'll have plenty of material following that game.
I mean, if they're still looking for stuff to edit in, I can give them a cut of yours from about 5 minutes ago.
Oh, no, there's a bunch of stuff. I'll give them some Jones and some Jones cuts. Yeah, have fun with those. Good guy. You want the Dark Knight in there? All right, so anyway, episode 6 coming soon.
So good luck, fella.
We're starting mostly with NFL free agency, and moves are starting to be made, and the Patriots, you got to think, are in on them because they're in a certain kind of win-now window, more than ever so before. Michael Bennett, the great defensive lineman there for Seattle, was traded today to Philadelphia. Interesting move by the Philadelphia Eagles.
I love that move for the Eagles.
Diana Rossini, the hot ESPN gal. I'm sorry, I say it with all the love and respect in my heart. She's yummy.
She's a cutie.
She just tweeted out what, Murray?
There are a bunch of teams in the running for Michael Bennett. That includes Cleveland, Tampa, Atlanta Falcons. Oh, and the New England Patriots, just to name a few. So this deal was for a fifth rounder and a wide receiver who was undrafted in 2016. So let's just say a little bit better. Fifth rounder and Malcolm Mitchell. Well, I would have done that for a guy that had 8.5 sacks last year.
A fifth? Malcolm Mitchell? I like Malcolm Mitchell.
I do. He hasn't played,
injury
though.
Concern, though.
Right? He hasn't played a lot.
I'm looking up Michael Bennett's contract.
So I'm just about to do the same. So keep it up, and I'll give it to you in a second.
Give me Michael Bennett's numbers. Not that I should care, but if you're taking on a big number, and again, you're trading for him, so you're taking the contract, you can, I guess, always restructure. But again, that comes with, I believe, a release. You have to release the player. restructure, or, you know, if you cut him and then re-sign him. Or maybe you can just maybe I have that wrong. God, I've been so out of it. Maybe you can just restructure without cutting him. But either way, I don't know. I think you're taking on the contract. That's the whole point of the give.
So naturally, I froze up. But when I looked it up earlier, he signed for 2 more years beyond this one, and the base salaries the next 2 are 7 and 8. So, you know, they're not outrageous. They're not outrageous, the base salaries, for a guy that is, hey, he was a force in that freaking Super Bowl against the Patriots. And to me, a monster. Like, I don't know, maybe the Patriots have designs on, or had designs on getting both Bennett brothers. Maybe that's what they were angling toward. I have no idea.
Okay, and I wonder about Richard Sherman. He said his goodbyes in Seattle. You've been linked to him in the past. You called on Richard Sherman last year. Now this year, Richard Sherman is saying his goodbyes to the Seattle Seahawks. And you were just talking to Pete about Michael Bennett. So is there something percolating there? NFL free agency continues, and the lead up to it right after this on our long commercial-free segment.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Question is, your football team, Maz, how do you feel about it?
Not great. Am I supposed to feel great? They are more vulnerable at this time of year than they have been in other years. It might be the fact that they're short on weapons in some ways, at least in the passing game. But again, bottom line for me, Brady has played like absolute dog crap for more than a month now.
You think that's going a little too far?
Okay, dog food.
Thank you. By his standards, it was dog foodish.
Well, of course. I mean, who am I comparing him to? Ryan Mallett?
Which brings me to another one. Steve Buckley in the Boston Herald over the weekend. You read Steve Buckley's column in the Boston?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I think it was Sunday.
Compared you to the Cleveland Browns.
I saw that.
Or said, you're in danger. Your moves have been so bad, and things have looked so dysfunctional, you are in danger of becoming the Cleveland Browns.
I loved it. Throwing hot fire. I mean, it's not that much of a stretch. The reference was made in the Seth Wickersham piece months ago.
It was?
Yeah, remember? There was one of the unnamed people that said, we could be the Browns. I'm paraphrasing, but the Browns were used as, hey, this could, if this goes wrong here, and now that we've lost Garoppolo, this thing continues, we could end up the Cleveland Browns.
Buck says, are you prepared for the day when the New England Browns take the field at Gillette Stadium? See, that feels a little strong, like calling Tom Brady's play dog crap.
Please, can I interject for a moment? Last 5 games of the regular season, Brady, 61% complete, 6 TDs, 5 picks, 81.6 rating. Dog crap. Continue.
Are you prepared for the day when the New England Browns take the field at Gillette Stadium, wrote Buck. You laugh. But I defy all of you, any of you, to look me in the eye and tell me you're not worried about the future. You'd have to be a fool not to be jaw-dropped by what's gone on with the Patriots these last couple of days, or months, he means. It all begins with the mid-season giveaway of Jimmy Garoppolo. This was followed by a flood of discouraging words out of Foxborough, ranging from talk radio whispers to the trumpets ablazing Seth Wickersham piece that Belichick, Brady, and Kraft aren't meeting for Wednesday night card games anymore. Buck says, we still don't know why Garoppolo was traded. We still don't know who ordered it, who approved it, who endorsed it. And speaking of things we don't know, there's Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. And when the game was over, the Patriots were barely off the field following the game when Hall of Fame-bound tight end Rob Gronkowski said just enough to make people wonder if he's going to retire. And then there was Josh McDaniels, who had 1 foot on an Indianapolis-bound plane, soon to be introduced as the new head coach of the Colts. But turns out the Krafts got a hold of the other foot and yanked McDaniels off the plane. He'll be back as the Patriots offensive coordinator, but with a new title. Head coach in waiting. Oh, wait, there's one more. Remember the photo of Kraft and Belichick having dinner at Davio's? It was supposed to be a sign that everyone is on the same page and looking forward to next season. Except that Kraft and Belichick look like 2 cardboard cutouts. This is supposed to be the Patriot way? Nope, sorry, this is the Cleveland Browns way. Is that a little strong, Murray?
Still like it, though. I do. Look, and here's the quote again. I just found it from the Seth Wickersham piece from a couple of months ago. One person inside the organization said earlier in the year, quote, if we trade Jimmy, we're the Cleveland Browns with no succession plan. I mean, it does kind of feel that way. If you look
at what's... Boy, did Bill lay that on thick, or his people, or whoever. Boy, did the Belichick camp lay that on thick in that story.
But looking past it, when Brady's done and Bill walks away and some of these guys getting up in age like Julian Edelman, and is Gronk going to go when Brady goes, if he even comes back at all? What are they going to have? What are they going to have?
So,
if he had said Miami Dolphins, would you feel better?
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, we're in danger of becoming the Miami Dolphins after Marino retired. You got it. Exactly right. The Browns are just, a whole nother level a whole nother level. But one thing that is Browns-like is, again, sort of the, and that's how I tie in the Wickersham piece, is the fact that they're talking. Like, they're airing their dirty laundry. That Wickersham piece was a Brady hit piece. I mean, Belichick or his camp had Brady responsible for getting players hurt, declining. They even said he was guilty in Deflategate. Like, that thing? If we don't do this, we're going to become the Cleveland Browns? Like, boy, they laid it on thick. That is not the Patriot way. Anyway, Buckley says that the first pro sports dynasty of the 21st century, meaning you, suddenly presents itself as uncertain, unsteady, and unable to explain this or that decision. Do you agree with that, that they present themselves as uncertain, unsteady, and unable to explain this or that decision?
Not unable, unwilling. I mean, you know, to me, there's a difference there. They could explain it. They're capable of explaining everything. They just choose not to. But the instability part, I told you, I don't remember another time under Belichick where going into an offseason, I felt as anxious about their future as I do right now. And I'm anxious about it. Because to me, there are a lot of questions here at the moment.
It's entirely possible that the Belichick-Brady Pats have another Super Bowl championship in them. It's entirely possible. But Patriots fans know deep down that not playing Butler may have cost them a sixth Lombardi trophy. Just as they know giving Garoppolo away may have cost them a seventh or an eighth. This is how you become the Cleveland Browns. You keep making mistake after mistake after mistake, ranging from head-scratching to laugh-out-loud dumb. And that's how you become a perennial NFL bottom feeder. Oof. Strong to quite strong.
I mean, see, to me, this is, like, to be the Browns, you know what you have to have? Bad ownership. You have to have bad ownership.
So this is what he says. He says, again, you say it can't happen here. You say the analogy is bad because the Browns, the old Browns, the new Browns, have never even been to a Super Bowl, let alone win one, and I will parenthetically say have gone through three different owners or whatever.
Horrible ownership there.
He says, so take the Browns out of the discussion. Consider instead the 49ers. We've seen two editions of the great Niners, two Niners runs, eventually, inevitably, hit rock bottom. We've seen the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, take visits to rock bottom. Again and again, this wasn't going to happen with the Patriots. They had Belichick, they had Brady, they had Garoppolo warming up in the bullpen.
I like it. Yeah, as someone always says on this show, if you're going to be a Bear, be a Grizzly. And Steve Buckley was a Grizzly with this column. And, okay, if you're going to write something like this, you know, be bold. The Browns are always like the low watermark in the NFL to use as, you know, when it all goes wrong, you could be the Cleveland Browns. But it doesn't seem like there's a succession plan here behind Brady.
Okay, I don't think it's that bad. But I just think they're in a real interesting time. I think Belichick is going to be making some big decisions here. I mean, again, if you had brought on Michael Bennett, that's a big decision for big money. If you're trading for Richard Sherman, that's a big decision for big money. And, you know, whether or not you're going to pay Nate Solder, like, that's a close call and a big commitment and a lot of money and all of these things. Are you giving up picks for win-now kind of players? Are you just making picks for the future? What are you doing? Belichick's going to be making the calls, and he's probably gone in a year, in my opinion.
See, this is why I don't like the whole dynamic right now.
So this is a weird spot. This is the spot they hated to be in with Parcells. They have to trust that Bill still has the long-term future of the team in mind, even though he may not be a part of it. Like, that's a tricky spot.
Right, even though he traded Jimmy Garoppolo for the 43rd pick in the draft when he could have gotten something in the top 10. Like, so this is where it gets dicey. And again, you haven't even brought up the idea of who picks the next quarterback now. Like, there's that whole thing. So, you know, ideally you want Bill to pick it, but McDaniels is the guy that's going to have to coach with him if everything is lining up the way we think it's going to. I just think there are so many moving parts at the moment, so many, and there's uncertainty about the futures of so many people involved that it is hard to look at it from the outside and have confidence. That's all.
Okay, so the rumors are picking up NFL free agency-wise. We continue with your reaction to them, I promise. Write to your calls after Murray gets you updated on the very latest. There has been a prominent Seattle Seahawk who has been traded. Reportedly, you were in on this trade, and you didn't get him. There is another prominent Seahawk who is apparently on his way out the door, who you've been involved with in the past, and maybe again in the future. And there are rumors involving one of your top receivers, which, again, I'll get to off the top of the hour. But first, Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.